Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So last year in Tucson, almost 1 year ago today, Jared Loeffner used one to shoot Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who also owned one. It was used in the Virginia Tech massacre and the shooting at Northern Illinois University. Bruce Willis used one in Die Hard. Tupac included it in his lyrics. It's the Glock, a gun of choice for law enforcement across the country, as well as Hollywood. And sadly, it has been a gun of choice for several mass shootings. Joining me now is Paul Barrett, author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. He's also an assistant managing editor at Bloomberg Businessweek. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. Good morning.
You described the Glock as the Google of guns. So for those of us who have never used one and aren't familiar with its design, what makes it so user-friendly?
Well, the Glock is made from plastic, not from the traditional materials of blued steel and wood. So it's lighter. It's more durable. Its trigger pull is lighter than that of comparable semi-automatic pistols, and the trigger pull is very steady, so you don't have to jerk the gun to fire it. From the point of view of someone who's firing under duress and wants to fire a lot of rounds very quickly, the Glock is very effective because the standard model has 17 rounds in the magazine. That compares, for example, to 5 or 6 rounds in the traditional Smith & Wesson revolver. For all those reasons, it's popular with law enforcement, as you said, with home defense advocates and so forth.
Have you fired one? What does it feel like?
Oh, sure, yes. I've fired Glocks many times. I find it very comfortable to use, very easy to aim. It aims very naturally. The angle of the grip to the bore, I think, is very good. And many people find that they are more accurate with the Glock because of that light, very steady trigger pull.
Why did you write a book about a gun?
I've been writing about the gun industry for many years. In my mind, it is the most fascinating industry in America. Its product is protected by a constitutional amendment. Its product is woven into American history like no other article of commerce. Within that industry, Glock, its story since the 1980s, really tells the most recent chapter in the long story of the gun in American society. It redefined the American handgun market, and the fact that this would be done by a small, previously unknown Austrian company, to me, is immediately fascinating.
The Glock doesn't have an external safety lock. What kind of safety mechanism does it have?
Yeah, it has what Glock calls a trigger safety, a concept that many people find somewhat perplexing. There's a mini trigger within the trigger. The safety is that if you drop the gun, it won't fire. You need to depress the trigger. There's no external lever. There's no decocking lever. And as you indicate, that is something that was very distinctive about the Glock when it was introduced. Also very controversial. It resulted in a lot of lawsuits when people shot themselves accidentally.
Is it unusual for a gun to be used by both law enforcement and by criminals?
Not really. Most of the guns that are most prevalent you'll find on both sides of the law. That's when you're talking about higher quality guns. It's also very common among criminals to use basically junky throwaway guns that no self-respecting police force would ever use. But no, I mean, Smith & Wesson revolvers are used very commonly in crime, and they were once the gun of choice for police officers.
Any Glock owners out there? Anybody with a question about this particular gun that is now the topic of a book by our guest Paul Barrett, the book Glock, The Rise of America's Gun? Do you feel this is America's gun? Is there such a thing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can comment or ask a question on our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. One of the remarkable things about your story of the Glock is how it has thrived on controversy.
Absolutely.
So you describe how the first time it came to the widespread attention of Americans was when Time magazine reported that Colonel Gaddafi was buying hundreds of so-called plastic guns which couldn't be detected at security checkpoints. It was called the Hijacker Special. And yet this made the Glock popular?
Yes. It made the Glock popular because not just Time, but the muckraking journalist Jack Anderson and also gun control advocacy groups all attacked the Glock and suggested that it shouldn't be allowed into this country, that it was too dangerous. When you tell American gun owners that a particular model is something they can't have, that's the model they want to have. They'll run out and buy two of them. So that controversy was something that was invaluable to Glock in terms of establishing its reputation. It also helped that it turned out that this allegation that the Glock, because it's made primarily out of industrial-strength plastic, would not be detectable by airport machines, turned out to be phony, false. And so that sort of Glock enjoyed both aspects of it. They were able to prove their opponents wrong, and meanwhile they'd gotten all this attention.
If it's made out of plastic, how is it detected at the airport?
Well, if you're using an X-ray machine, a big hunk of plastic that is shaped like a gun looks like a gun. Moreover, if you're using a magnetometer, which is not common at all anymore, the slide of the Glock, the rectangular part on the top of the pistol, is solid steel. So you see that. Moreover, if you're going to make if the gun's going to do any damage, you're going to need some ammunition, and of course the bullets are metal. So the point
can you take it apart so it doesn't look like a gun?
You can take it apart, but the receiver, the lower part, will still look like the receiver of a gun. And if the person looking at the monitor is trained and knows what they're looking for, they'll be able to pick it out.
By coincidence, you're here on the very day that Gabrielle Giffords is officially resigning from Congress after being shot with a Glock. And as you point out, she also owns a Glock. And time after time, after a shooting involving a Glock, sales actually go up. You write about it in the book after the 1991 massacre in Killeen, Texas. Even more recently, after the shootings in Arizona and at Virginia Tech, jumps in sales for this weapon.
This is one of the extraordinary aspects of the gun market. Gun owners are very much afraid that any gun that gets associated with crime will then be the target of gun control efforts. So their reflexive reaction is to run out and buy up the gun they see that's threatened. The strange aspect of this in recent times, in the last 10, 12 years, is that we've had absolutely no increases in federal gun regulation. In fact, gun laws are being loosened across the country. So the gun industry, Glock and its rivals, are actually benefiting from all aspects of this because the laws are getting looser, but people are still afraid the laws are going to get tougher, so people are buying more guns. It's been a very good time for the gun industry.
Ian in Astoria, you're on WNYC with Paul Barrett, author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Hello.
Hello, good morning. I keep on seeing these videos where guys are holding Glocks and they turn them at an angle in the video. And I wondered whether they do that because it's a matter of style or whether it improves their aim. And what probably a lot of people really want to know about is that why NPR doesn't talk about Ron Paul.
All right, Ian, we talk about Ron Paul all the time, but if you want to answer his question about how you fire a Glock.
Yeah, he's absolutely right that it's a matter of kind of gangster style to hold the gun palm down when you're shooting it. That is a very bad way to hold a gun. It's not the way any professional police officer or target shooter or any competent shooter would hold it. It's pure affectation.
Nathan in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask about that. You know, I guess when the Glock was first coming out, there was a scare about it being a weapon that could be taken through a metal detector at airports, say, because it has plastic. And it just seems so impossible. I mean, the Glock is mostly metal, and a slide is a big chunk of metal. And it didn't that kind of, you know, hysteria, an anti-gun hysteria sort of thing?
I would say that is exactly what that was. It was very misguided hysteria that undercut the gun control movement.
But wait a minute. According to your book, wasn't that rumor or that tag about it being a hijacker special because of it being plastic, wasn't that story planted by the Defense Department?
It was planted by a guy in the Defense Department who, by the time I got to him, basically recanted and told me that he owned a Glock and thought it was a pretty darn good gun. It's a little hard to explain why that fellow became Jack Anderson's source and fueled those early rumors. But as I said, when the FAA went to testify before Congress, when the ATF went to testify before Congress, they said, we really have no problem with this gun. It is no more of a hijacker's tool than any other gun.
The story was if I understand the book correctly, that a Defense Department counterterrorism chief was determined to stop the Glock from becoming popular in the United States because he was afraid, after seeing Gaddafi with it, that it would become a terrorist weapon of choice domestically.
That is correct. That was his story. He had heard from Israeli intelligence that Gaddafi and other suspicious characters were interested in the gun, and that helped fuel this series of columns by Jack Anderson, which in turn fueled congressional hearings and gave a lot of excitement within the gun control movement. The problem was that it just turned out to be false. People who work for the Defense Department can make mistakes, too. They can make things up, too, and that's exactly what happened.
Lance in Massapequa, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lance.
Hi, Brian. Nice to be on your show.
Thank you for calling.
About 2 years ago, I got my pistol permit for Nassau County, and my first weapon of choice was the Glock, mainly for home defense. It's lightweight, it's easy to shoot, and nothing but good thoughts about it.
What do you use it for?
I use it for, I haven't used it for self-defense at home. I just use it for target shooting at the range.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it for self-defense.
Thank you very much. Jerry, in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, my question is, where is the Glock made? Is it still made in Austria?
It is made in Austria, and many of them are assembled in suburban Atlanta, where the company has a big facility.
You're a retired police officer, Jerry, I understand, right?
No, I was with law enforcement.
You were all right.
I was with U.S. Customs.
With Customs.
So what I don't understand, why can't the American gun makers make a similar weapon?
Well, that's a very good question.
Because of the economy the way it is, if they're selling that many Glocks all over the country.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Why are selling them all over the world? Why can't we keep the whole thing right here in the U.S.?
Big story this week about why Steve Jobs said they can't make iPhones in the United States. Why can't they make Glocks here?
When the Glock first surfaced in this country in the mid to late 80s, American gun makers were very much in decline, just like the automakers in Detroit. They had made themselves vulnerable to foreign competition by slipping on innovation and quality control. And just as Toyota and Honda and other foreign brands grabbed a big share of the market, so did Glock, Beretta, and other foreign gun makers. Now, in the years since, very much in parallel with Detroit, American gun makers have improved the quality of their products and are competing more vigorously now, so that Smith & Wesson makes a gun that looks an awful lot like the Glock, and many people say is just as good as the Glock. I'm not here to advertise for the Glock and say buy that one versus another one. So the competition is back. But meanwhile, in the 80s and into the 90s, the foreign competitors were able to make a tremendous amount of progress, and they're not giving that ground up very easily.
Hugh, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I own a Glock, and it's interesting. You can treat that gun any way you want, and it doesn't break down, which is one quality about it. But any size, aside from that, what you were talking about the Defense Department and about the rumors that were there, the sort of villainous rumors that were going on about the Glock, I heard from some people at gun ranges that was a little corruption there. That was the big fight to have either the Glock or the Beretta as a standard sidearm for the Army. And many, many people in the Army, from what I understand, I was never in the service, prefer the Glock. But the Beretta became the standard sidearm, and they suggested there was a little corruption involved in villainizing the gun, because it was a foreign gun, and I don't know, so is the Beretta to an extent.
Yeah, it's Italian,
and,
I believe.
Yes.
Is there truth to that?
That conspiracy rumor, too. I understand why it exists, because in 1984, Beretta, which is very much a foreign product from Italy, won a huge contract with the Defense Department to supply pistols to the United States Army. However, Glock actually did not even compete for that. This was before Glock was really off the ground. So while there is that conspiracy notion, I don't think that explains this. I think this actually is explained as strange things often are by one man's very particular concern.
And the NYPD originally banned the weapon. Now
Correct.
The Glock is one of three guns that the NYPD permits those on the force to carry. You write that about 20,000 NYPD officers carry a Glock.
That's correct.
What changed, and we have about a minute left, right, in the eyes of the NYPD?
Amazing story. The NYPD banned the Glock in 86, and it stayed prohibited through 88 for the very reasons we've been talking about, all these rumors about the fact that the terrorists would use it. And then in 1988, it was revealed by the AP, and then the New York Post picked it up, that the very top cop in New York, Benjamin Ward, the police commissioner, while he was banning everyone else from carrying a Glock, he was carrying a Glock under his suit coat. So he was good enough for him, but not for everybody else. Well, surprisingly, within a matter of weeks, the ban on the Glock was gone. The police department decided it's not so dangerous after all. And within just a couple of years, the police department itself was buying the Glock. So that's yet another example of efforts to restrict the Glock actually benefiting it.
Paul Barrett, assistant managing editor of Bloomberg Businessweek, in his day job is now the author of Glock: The Rise of America's Gun. Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks a million.